You're listening to a Sunday morning message from Hope Church Frankfurt. If you want more information about our church, text HOPE23 to 55498. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had someone say something to you and they're like, all right, you're going to figure this out. Just trust me, right? That phrase of just trust me, you're going to figure this out. At my job that I worked during the week, I had to learn how to drive a semi-truck. And now I went to school for ministry, okay? So, like, I would not be considered in any way, shape, or form a handyman in the way that you're thinking. Now, I consider myself a handyman. I'm great at handing the man a flashlight, the wrong wrench. I'm great at getting lemonade. You know what I mean? Like, those are good things that I do. I'm not a handyman in the traditional sense, but I do hand the real men the things that they need to work, right? And so regardless of that, my boss was like, here's the deal. You have to learn how to back up semi-trucks. Okay, so I'm driving a semi-truck, and we're driving and moving around 53-foot dry vans. These are big trailers that you see on the road. And I'm telling you, he literally jumped in the truck and was like, all right, here's how you drive. And then was like, I'm just going to go inside, and you're going to be in the parking lot. And I was like, this is not good. This is a big problem. I've never even driven a stick shift before. I didn't even know what the gears were, right? I didn't even know how to use a clutch. And he kept saying one phrase, you'll get it, just trust me, right? And I was like, don't people go to school for this? You know what I mean? Like, don't they have, like, training for this? You know, like, I don't even have a license. We're not going to say that on tape, right? I was like, I'm supposed to drive this around the lot, you know, like, he's like, yeah, you know, it's a spotter truck. You're not going to go on the road. And I'm like, okay, all right. So just trust you, right? He's like, you'll get a feel for it. And so there were some poles that were hit and some trailers that were damaged and some doors that were blown off. But in about 6 to 9 months, I was able to figure it out because I trusted him, apparently, or I just had trial and error, right? So it came to the point where the next guy, we hired somebody else, and my boss tells me, here's what you're going to do. You're going to train him on how to back up trailers. I said, that sounds like a good idea. You know, somebody who already doesn't know how to do something, training someone who's never done it before in their life sounds like a plan. Let's do it, right? So I'm out there training him, and you know what I found myself saying? You know, Ron, when you're backing up, I know it seems weird, but you'll kind of get a feel for it. Just trust me. And in that moment when I said that, he goes, that's not helpful. And I was like, you're right. That's not helpful at all. Like, you're right. I don't know what to tell you. And so I was like, I guess get out and look backwards a lot. You know, like, I guess that's what it is. And I think it's this interesting thing because we're starting this brand new sermon series called Trust. And I think a lot of times what happens in our Christian walk with the Lord, especially last week, let's say you came to church and you're on a journey following Jesus and you gave your life to the Lord or you're making some steps to follow him. A lot of times Christians will say this thing to you. You'll figure it out. Just trust me. You'll kind of figure it out. You'll navigate it. You'll learn. Just trust me. And my goal during this trust series is not just to tell you to trust me and you'll figure it out eventually, but I want to give you practical, real things to consider and to think about so that you will grow in your relationship with the Lord. That's my goal. And so I have a theme verse for this series. It's Proverbs 3:5, and it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak your word today. I pray that as we go through this process of learning how to trust you, and what does it mean to trust you in different seasons of our life, through difficulties, through tough trials, what does it mean to trust you? So today I pray that we would trust in you, not lean on our own understanding, but we would look to you and you would show us exactly what it means to be a good follower. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. If you're taking notes and you want to jot down some notes, the title of my message this morning is Trust the Process, How to Develop a Daily Walk with God. And I'm hoping trusting the process works out better for us than it did for the Philadelphia 76ers, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Trust the process. Our church, like any other church, and in my opinion, any good church, is made up of a few different groups of people. We have some people that have been in our church, and they've been following Jesus for 50-plus years. You've been walking with the Lord for the majority of your life, and so you have some experience in walking with God and understanding the relationship and the understanding and trusting the process of God. Like any good church, we have some people who have just been following the Lord for a few years, maybe even 1 year. Maybe you just kind of have been on this journey to figure it out. And hopefully we have some people who are coming into our doors that are still figuring it out, that don't know what they believe, that are still trying to figure out what's going on. What does this even mean? Because the reality is this, if we have a church that only is full of mature believers and people that have been Christians for 50 years, then it turns into a holy huddle and we don't really understand what's going on in the world. We can really be, that's why Christians a lot of times will say to you, I don't know anybody that's not a Christian. Well, that's an indication that I've separated myself from the realities of the world that we live in and sharing the gospel, and I've really just focused in on what I need individually. Then we have some people who are new, and the best part about somebody who gets on fire for the Lord is they're what? On fire. Like, they're like, this is great. This is awesome. I got all these questions, right? They don't know that you're not allowed to ask certain questions, right? Which is great because I'm all for that. You can ask any question. But in certain religious circles, you can't question certain things, right? You can't do certain things. But you need that sect of the church to kind of push everybody forward. We have to have a church that's filled with different people that are in different stages of the process. Maybe I've been following Jesus forever. Maybe I just got saved. Maybe I still don't know what I believe. We all need each other. And the reality is we need each other to make the church grow. Without this, the church cannot grow, right? Last weekend, we ran out of parking spots. We had people parking in the grass, right? That was incredible. Can we just celebrate that for a moment? I remember when we first started here, I could have parked across 7 spots and no one would have known, right? And now we're parking in the grass, right? Which is great. It means that our church is growing. It means that people are coming and kind of seeing what's happening. And hopefully getting plugged in. But you know what that means? That some of us are going to have to drive one car to church, right? We're going to have to be like, all right, I'm not going to take 4 cars, my family included. We're going to carpool together, right? We're going to figure this out. It all takes one another. As we grow and as we have more people in the church, we have more opportunities for serving. Like, as our kids ministry grows, in the past 2 months, our kids ministry has grown from the place to where we have just one room that's needed for volunteers, which really we can run with 2 volunteers, to where we're getting to the place, depending on the Sunday, we might need 2 or 3 rooms. So in order for us to continue to grow, I need probably 6 to 8 adults who are going to come up and tell me that they'll serve once a month. 6 to 8 adults. So maybe that's you in the room and you're saying, you know what, I'll serve in kids once a month or once every 6 weeks. If we're going to continue to see the growth that God has, it takes us to step into the process. It takes us to develop and go forward. It takes a community to grow. It takes us to do this thing together. If we're going to keep growing, it doesn't just take one person. You can't grow by osmosis. Liam Neeson, as a lone wolf, would never have been a good Christian because he's by himself. We need to be together. And so there's a few things that I want you to remember if you're going to trust the process. There's a few things that I want you to consider. The first one is this. You need to keep curiosity. This may seem strange to you, but you need to keep curiosity. Let me show you in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read 3 verses. This is about Jesus. And at this time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him this interesting question. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's what they're saying. Who has the most position, Jesus? Who has the most power? Jesus doesn't answer their question. Instead, he called a little child to them and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. A couple interesting things to consider when you're reading this passage is the disciples, before Jesus has even passed away, are already jockeying for power. They're jockeying for that political position. Who's going to be able to sit on your right hand? Who's going to sit on your left? Who's going to be the person in charge? But Jesus ignores that. And the reality is, he could have very easily answered this. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus could have just said, I am. That's true. He is. He's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven and here on earth, right? He could have just had added another I am statement. He could have just said, I am, right? But he didn't do that. He wanted to show them the reality of what it means to follow him. He wants to change their perspective. So often when we grow in faith, we immediately turn to how can I level up? All right, if I get this, I can get to the place and I can level up. I can grow, I can level up, I can get here. And once I get there, I never have to go back here. Have you ever thought that? Once I get to this place, then I never have to go back there. Once I get certain status in church and I can sit where I want, I can park where I want, hallelujah. You know what I mean, right? I get the coffee early. I remember when we were first starting, we had a few new people and someone came up to me and said, someone sat in my seat. I said, I didn't know it was yours. If you would like to pay for it, you can make a donation. I was just kidding. I didn't say that. Right? But like, okay, cool. Right? We level up. No, we need to. Jesus, check this out. I didn't even know this until researching this. Jesus asks and answers 183 questions in the gospel. Well, you think Jesus should have been like, listen, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Instead, he's asking questions. He said, what do you think? Who do you think is the greatest? Who do you think is more important? What do you think about this? He's asking questions. Instead of leaving us an exact step-by-step guide, he left us with a challenge to ask questions, to be curious, to be like little children. I read the study that said little children ask 300 to 400 questions a day, right? Anyone with little, any parents or grandparents can, they're like, yes, that's true, right? 300 to 400 questions a day. Why? Because they're curious. How does this work? And I want to ask you to maybe step back into curiosity. If you're here and you're new to faith, you're probably already curious. But if you've been following Jesus for 50, 70 years, are you still curious about the things that are going on? So here's what I want to recommend doing. Take out a journal, maybe a paper and pen, but you can do it digitally. You can do it on your phone. But I like to write things down that I really want to remember with paper and pen. And I want you to take a few minutes in the morning and ask some questions to God that maybe you would not like to, you would have never verbalized. Like, why did this happen? What about this verse? What about this place? Take 15 minutes for the next week as we're in this trust series and just write out, what are the things that you're curious about? What are the questions that you have? Don't edit them, right? Don't be like, God, why does this happen? Why don't you hate that? Like, oh, I can't say hate. You know, why don't you love these people enough because I really don't like them, right? Like, don't edit yourself and then present it to the Lord in prayer and see what he answers, because I believe he will answer. And that rolls right into my second point this morning, which is develop consistency. Keep curiosity and develop consistency. Check this out in John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus says this. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It's really important that we develop a consistent relationship with the Lord. Jesus lays this out beautifully in John chapter 15. None of us can bear fruit by ourselves. Meaning that without the help of the Holy Spirit, bringing conviction, bringing questions to your mind, bringing conversations in your path, you will not be able to produce fruit if you are just on your own. And what that also means is what you are connected to produces something in you. This is why, like when I grew up in youth group, right? I was at a youth group thing actually at this church many years ago. And they're like, bring all your non-Christian CDs and we're going to burn them in the back. Right? That smoke was so dark. I'm not sure how the cops didn't get called on us. You know what I mean, right? It was a cool thing, but like, man, we definitely lost a few years off my life on that, you know? Like, so we're like, we're going to burn all the non-Christian CDs. What is that? What are they trying to get to? What you listen to, what you watch, what you consider, what you pray about, what you think about, what you talk about, creates something in you. It produces fruit in you, whether you want to admit it or not. The things that we are constantly doing are constantly creating things in us. So if we are always doing something that is negative, it will always produce negative things in you. It does not matter the things that you think. You're like, okay, I do five good things, and 10 negative things, isn't that going to kind of balance out? No. What you're doing produces things in you. It's the principle that God talks about in the Bible, the principle of reaping and sowing, right? You will reap what you sow. So if you're sowing into yourself anger or bitterness or gossip or frustration or all of these things, it will reap in your life. Just think about it this way. How many of us in the room, you don't have to raise your hand, but you did the 21 days of prayer and fasting, right? Maybe you did chocolate, maybe you did TV, right? For me, it was a very specific food fast that I did. And every single time, you have no idea in the first like 7 days how many times I thought about going to Chipotle. It is sad. You know what I mean? Like at one point, I literally was like writing it like, I will not go, I will not go, I will not go. Seriously. Because I was like, I promised I wouldn't go. I was like, this is a problem, right? I was talking to someone and they're like, you have, like all of a sudden I gave up coffee and you have no idea how many times I went to make my first cup. Right? We don't realize the things that we're doing are producing things in us. And that's why God asks us to do things like Sabbath, to stop and consider what he's doing. That's why he asks us to have regular prayer and fasting. We do two prayers and fasting every single year in the spring and in the fall. We will, or in the beginning of the year and at the fall, considering adding one in the middle of the year too, because I think it's just so good for our souls. It's good for me. I know it's good for all of us. What you are connected to creates what flows from you, meaning what you consistently do. So let me ask you this question. What are you consistently doing? There's so many different avenues and places to read the Bible. It's almost too much information. Can you agree with me? Right? We have the Right Now Media as a church that we pay for that you can watch. There's literally 20,000 Bible studies on there. That's so many, right? Or you have the YouVersion Bible app. There's 50,000 Bible studies you can read on there. You can listen to sermons on YouTube. You can listen to worship everywhere. There's so many different ways to do it, but why do we not do it? Because we got to make a decision to do it. We got to make that decision to be consistently connected to something. What you are consistently doing will create things in you. And those things will either be good things or they will be bad things. So let me ask you, what are things that you can do this week to try to create consistency? If we're going to trust the process, we need to create consistency in our life. The third point is this, we need to find community. Find community. Keep curiosity, develop consistency, find community. Here's a stat for you. When people come to church, if they find two or three people that they can be connected to and a team to serve on, 80% of the time they will make that their church home. 80% of the time. Two people that they connect with, good morning, how are you? Hey, I remember your name, right? Two people they connect with and a place to serve, 80% of the place. Because why? We all want to be connected to one another and we all want to do something. No one wants to just do nothing. We all want to have purpose in our life. And that's why I believe that our life is truly better together here, right? You may have seen it in the lobby, but we intentionally put some of the things that we believe on the wall to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Those are the things that we want you to do. We want you to know God through the weekends so that you would know God and you would see who he is and worship who he is. Find freedom is our small groups. We believe that we find freedom in our small groups and in our classes and the things that we do. We discover purpose on the dream team when you're serving on the host team or the AVL team or down in Hope Kids or you're serving with us doing things like that or making a difference is, hey, we're going to go and do missions. We're going to eventually do some mission trips. We're going to give to kingdom builders. We're going to go to dinner church in Chicago and we're going to serve. We're going to make a difference doing the things that we want to do as a church. We're going to be good contributing Christians to society. Small groups are such an important thing of what we do. You need to find community. You need to find 4 to 8 people where you can grow together, where you can learn together, where you can be open. And I really want this to be a point of emphasis because I've been talking a lot with Abby and her team as they're kicking off the She Is ministry. And that's something that they're really putting a point of emphasis on, to be real in community, right? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had a conversation with someone who was really interested in you? Like you're sitting there and you're like, they really want to know about me. They're interested. What do I do? What do I think? What do I believe? Where do I go? It's probably been a while, right? Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but when I'm talking to someone, I'm thinking about how can I kind of get a little sarcastic zinger in there? You know what I mean? Or what do I think about it? I'm constantly thinking, what do I think? What do I think? What do I think? And I've had to almost rewire my brain to be like, no, what do they think? What do they think? Some of my greatest breakthroughs have happened in the context of community, in the context of small groups, in the context of conversations where people were interested in me. Check this out in Hebrews chapter 10. It says this, let us consider how to stir one another up in good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as the day is drawing near. Right? What is this saying? We need to stir one another up. We need to encourage one another. You're doing good. Say things like that. We don't want to neglect meeting together. We want to be together. We want to be here. That's why church is a priority. That's why small groups are a priority. We want to be here, and we want to encourage one another. Why? Because all more Jesus' second coming is coming closer and closer and closer. So what do we want to do? We want to stir each other up to continue to do good works, to continue to develop with one another, to continue to encourage one another. This should be the most encouraging place that you go every single week. You should not be able to name a place that's more encouraging than church. Because encouragements are free. Think about that. Encouragements are free. To encourage someone doesn't cost you anything. Criticisms aren't. They have a debt. And many times it's a lot of times on the person that you're talking to. But encouragement's free. We can be together, be with one another. There was this guy, I want to tell you this quick story. At our last church, there was a lady who came to church, and she was married, but her husband would never come. He had had some bad experiences at church, and he really disliked the church. In fact, he told me he hated the church. He was like, I don't want anything to do with it. You know, they're judgy people, they're weird people. And then he had a really difficult thing happen. His best friend had died and in a tragic accident. And it was very difficult for him. And so he was just really distant. And so I had some conversations with his wife, and she was like, really pray for my husband to come. And I was like, okay. So we prayed for him to come. And one specific Sunday he came, and I'm pretty sure he came because we had donuts, right? I'm not joking. Like, he literally was like, I came here for the donuts, what he told me right to my face. And I was like, cool. And so I started connecting with him. Come to find out he's a Cowboys fan. And I was like, so we were talking, right? And I was like, I'm a Bears fan. Both our teams stink, right? This is great, right? So we get, and then all of a sudden he said, do you golf? And I said, yeah, I do. I'm not good, but I'd like to go. I like to be outside, right? So we went golfing together. And we set up a date to go golfing. And we're hanging out and we're going golfing. And I'll never forget, I hit a shot and I nailed this house. And he thought it was so funny. He said, the pastor just destroyed this roof. So I go over to these people, I'm like, I give my insurance card. They're like, no damage done. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So poor right now, that would be ruined my life. You know what I mean, right? So we're having these conversations, right? And everything he kept saying, he kept being, I can't believe the pastor would do that. Or I can't believe the pastor would hang out with me. I was like, what? Why are you saying that? I was like, I'm just like a guy out here, right? He's like, oh, okay. So then we started golfing. We went golfing another time. Then he took me to a Christian rock band, right? A concert. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I was so tired. I had to wear eardrums. I came home. I told Abby, I can't even hear. You know what I mean? But he was like, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it together. What was it? Strider or Striper or something? You know what I'm talking about? They used to hand out Bibles. Oh my goodness. You think our church is loud? It was crazy, right? So I went with him all for this context of community and relationship. And guess what? He gave his life to Jesus. And he became a member of church. And he took over our soundboard, and he got baptized, and he follows Jesus today. And guess what? The first few conversations, I didn't talk about God at all. In fact, I was like, let's really hope I don't get sued. It's just what I kept saying on the golf course. You know what I mean? Let's hope there's no cameras. I was building relationship with him. And you know what he was doing? Asking questions. Why do Christians do these weird things? I don't know. We were talking, finding community. That community is what built him, and ultimately, Jesus saved his life. And he still texts me to this day. He texted me a couple weeks ago, man, the Cowboys stink, don't they? I was like, yes, they do, you know? Still this relationship that we built to develop. And at that point, me and Abby were talking about that. Why was it like that? And I feel like God had changed something in me that maybe I need to repent of, to be honest. At that time in Appleton, we went out to dinner four times a week with people that we met, random people at Starbucks. We were hanging out with them. We were talking with them. My goal was to be as interested in them as I could. And as I grew older in ministry, as our family got busier and as my life changed a little bit, I realized I haven't been doing that as much. I feel like God was convicting me. He's like, you're expecting real community to happen in a place that you're the leader of, but you're not doing it. And he reminded me of Scott's story. So there's going to be a change made in me because I want to be interested in other people. I want to make a change. I want to see more Scots come to this church. I want to see more people find their faith in Jesus because I really believe that that's the hope of the world, to find true community. Who can you reach out to? Who can you pray for? Who can you connect with? Who can you help develop? The fourth one is this: listen for God's direction. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28 says this: and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is what happens when you give your life to Jesus. He takes out that old heart and he puts in a new one, right? And I love this. Look at what happens. God puts the Holy Spirit in you to help you. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, another one is coming to be your helper, who will help you. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just some woo thing that we believe in. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a person who can help us, that God puts in our heart when we're saved, so that we can be different, so that we can be changed. The question I have for you this morning, because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, the question I have for you this morning is, will you listen to it? Because he's working and doing stuff, and the only question is, will we listen to it? Because I believe that he's speaking and he's giving us direction all the time, but will we listen to it? Will you recognize it? It's something you have to learn over time. It's not the voice of James Earl Jones, as cool as that would be, right? From Field of Dreams or from the voice of the Bible. He's got the coolest voice ever. I'm not even going to try it. He's incredible. But you know what I've noticed? Is that when he's speaking, I have this kind of gut feeling where it's like, I don't have peace about this. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I don't have peace about this? Or you're walking into a room and you're like, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I kind of have this check in my spirit. I kind of have this, that's the Holy Spirit. When I'm contemplating doing something, I'm like, maybe this isn't right. My flesh is like, no, you should do it. It's definitely right. And then I'm like, well, maybe it isn't right. That's the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you something. As the band is up here and they're playing. Now, some of you may know this, but when the band is up here, you know that we have these headphones called in-ear monitors, right? And back in the day when we had monitors, they were wedges on stage. You guys remember those wedges, right? And they were always too loud and it would blow out the eardrums of everybody, right? But it was so the singers and the instruments could hear themselves, right? And so what it is really this way for them to hear themselves and for us to communicate with one another. So when the band is playing, Laura, with her in-ear monitor in, can hear the other instruments, can hear the other singers. But there's also something else that we have that you may not have noticed. There's a mic in front of Jason over there, and now he's not singing the high harmonies when it hits those high notes, you know? I know when Sarah goes really high, you're like, what's behind it? It's not Jason, it's something else, right? But what he's doing is speaking into it. So Alex, can you unmute the talkback? And as she's playing, and as we're playing up here, and as they get to different transitions,
we'll go verse 2, 3, 4.
You can hear him talking. And he's giving direction. And when I say you want to listen for God's direction or look to God's direction, it's just like that. We're playing. Where do we go? I don't really know. Remember, you walk into your work.
Chorus,
I don't really know what to do.
2, 3, 4.
Verse 2, 3, 4. I'm at school. I don't really know what to say. What should I do? Oh man, Holy Spirit speaking to you. 1, 2, 3. Go to the chorus now. I believe that you can listen to God's direction, and as you're working at your job and as you're walking through life, you can hear, just like we hear, what's in our ears to direct us on the path and speak to where we're going. I believe that God's direction is for each and every one of us, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. just like that. You can hear, we're moving it. Why do you move a specific way? Why do you change when you do? Why do you do this? Well, somebody's directing me. Who's directing you? Jesus. Is it an audible voice like James Earl Jones? No, but can you unmute it one more time? It kind of maybe sounds like a little bit like a band director, a music director, helping you stay in time, helping you move to the right beat, helping you do the chorus and the bridge and going to the next one. As he continues to move, you can mute it again. As they continue to play behind, just wanted to give you that little illustration that we're not doing everything up here on our own. We're not just going willy-nilly, and neither are you through life. That as you walk and as you move, I believe God can do something great. And he wants to lead and guide and direct you. So I'm going to ask, heads bowed, eyes closed all over this room. If you're here today, you say, you know what? One of those words was for me. I need to keep curiosity. I haven't been curious about God in a long time. I need to develop more consistency, or I need to find community. Or maybe I just need to listen for his direction. Maybe it sounds like a 1, 2, 3, go to the verse. Maybe it sounds like a, hey, walk up to that person who's sitting alone. Maybe it sounds like run from the situation because this is bad for you. Whatever it sounds like, I pray that the Holy Spirit would encounter you and you would hear his voice clearly. You would understand his impressions and you would be able to follow Jesus. But if you're here and you say, you know what, I want to respond to one of those things and I want to make a change. If that's you, on the count of three, with no one looking around, I just want you to shoot your hand up and put it right back down just so I know who I'm praying for. 1, 2, 3. Can you shoot those up? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah, you can put those hands down. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you are here and that you are speaking. I pray today that you would be glorified, that we would keep our curiosity in you, that we would develop our consistency in you, that we would continue to find community in what you have, and we would listen for your voice. Holy Spirit, would you be here? We thank you today. We love you today, God. I pray that you would impact our hearts, that we would trust you. We would trust the process. Trust the process. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. And if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe to stay up to date with all of our new messages. Thanks for listening. God bless.